the end of the Old Testament, the end of the Bible Jesus had, let's say it that way, the end of the Bible Jesus had, there's the book of Haggai. You have Haggai, Zechariah, and then Malachi, and that ends your Old Testament. Haggai was the 14th oldest prophet to Judah. And he's writing after the captivity took place, so after the time of Jeremiah, 100 or so years actually after that time, where they already, now they've been captive, and now they're going back into the land under the empire of the Medes and the Persians. And so you don't get too confused. The Babylonians came in and took Jerusalem captive to Babylon, and then after the Babylonian Empire, there was the Medo-Persian Empire, and that's where the movie 300 and all that stuff comes from. And then they allowed Israel to go back into Jerusalem and inhabit the land again. Okay, so that's where Haggai's at. If you want to kind of know other books that are in the same area as Haggai chronologically, I would say Ezra, Nehemiah are around this time. Let's see, Zechariah is probably around this time. So let's see this. It's only a page or so. In the second year of King Darius of the Medes and Persian Empire, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, so sixth month, what's that, what month's that to us? Okay, so it would be June. So it's like a letter, right? He's like, June, on the first day of the month. So the first day of June, even though this is the Hebrew calendar, so it's a little different. The word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. So Zerubbabel is the governor of Judah, and that is the area where Jerusalem is at. And to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak. Say that one. Can you guys say that word? Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house shall be built. The word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Okay, so this is the situation in Haggai. The people are returned back into the land of Judah and into the land of Jerusalem, okay, after being in captivity. And now the issue comes to the prophet Haggai where he goes, man, dude, like, why are we dwelling in houses when the temple is in ruins? Like, man, and that's kind of been on his heart. Have you ever thought about that? Like, you thought, like, man, dude, like, you know, I'm kind of earning a paycheck, and I'm kind of living pretty okay now, and I'm kind of doing pretty well. But you kind of hit a kind of this thing where you go, really, I'm not helping anybody. Like, I'm really not doing anything right with my money. You know what I mean? And Haggai's kind of seen this kind of attitude, so he kind of is going to hammer away. In verse 4, he says, we'll repeat that. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink and are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Pretty interesting idea. He says, you guys eat, but you're never full. You guys drink, but you're never drinking enough. You guys make enough money, but it always just goes right through your pockets. You know, you get the idea. He says, if you don't do something righteous with your money will just, your luxury will just go up in smoke. You'll never have enough. You know, and isn't that true? I mean, it's sick to hear, like, rich people, right, talk sometimes. It's like, I mean, they talk and it's almost like they don't even realize their world. You know, they're like, man, we don't have enough. We need more. da-da-da-da-da. You watch TV and it's always about more, more. You know, I mean, Sylvia was watching that show Revenge. You know, I don't know if you, it's like a show Revenge. But it's like, man, everybody's wealthy and no one realizes just how blessed they are with their money. You know what I mean? But that's just how the world is, you know? It's like there's never enough. It's like there's always holes in the pocket. They can eat filet mignon their whole life and they still, and then they go, it's kind of plain. You know what I mean? It's kind of bland. Lobster, kind of sucks. You know what I mean? You know, that kind of attitude. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified in it, says the Lord. You know, what's the greatest use of our resources and our talents and things like that? Is it not to please God? You know, is it not to honor God with what we have? All of us have been given great, cool gifts, right? Music. Sometimes it's even things like, you know, like doing hair. It can be something so relative or so basic like that. But yet, you know, do we dedicate those things to God? And, hey, God, how can I further your kingdom with this kind of stuff? Or just honor you with this kind of thing and have that attitude. And that's what God's saying, that I may take pleasure in it. See, God wants to be a part of what you're into. He wants to be part of that. Let him be a part of it. It says in verse 9, you looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land. How would you like to hang out with Haggai, right? I mean, he gets so bummed at the way everybody's running their money that all of a sudden he just breaks out in these prayers of like, God, I want a drought so no one can make money. I mean, he would be a bummer in America, right? This guy, you would not want to hang out with Haggai because he'd be like, oh, Wall Street, I'm praying against you. I'm praying that everything collapses so that we would waken up. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. It would be that kind of guy, you know? So not too many people would dig him. So he calls for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the grounds bring forth, on men and livestock and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, who's the governor, and Joshua, who's the priest, with all the remnant of the people who were back in the land, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. In the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. So you could see how different it is from Lamentations to now, right? The attitude of the people of Israel. Well, remember, they were taken captive because they were totally going astray, right, from God. Where now, when the prophet speaks, what does the governor, the political people, and the religious people do? They take heed, right, to the prophet. So when the prophet says, hey, we got to seek the Lord, everybody now in the community goes, seek the Lord. This is the way a father should be in a household. A father should be like that kind of leader where he says, hey, he should be a prophet in his home. He should be the dude that goes, you know what? Something ain't right and I don't know what it is, but let's get together and let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. You know, that kind of attitude. And you want the people, the kids and everybody to be like, hey, yeah, that's right. Let's seek the Lord. So this is where they're at. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Isn't that a cool word? Just that alone is good, just to hear that. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. So 24 days, man, it took Haggai to get the message across, and the people heard the message, and then they said, you know what, we got to start building the house of God. So they started working on the temple. Okay. So verse 2 says, speak now to Zerubbabel and to Joshua, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? Isn't that sad? He's saying, man, remember what the temple was like in Solomon's day? I mean, we weren't around, but man, we heard it was glorious. Look at what we got now. We got this little like porta potty. You know what I mean? It's like, this is the place of God. You know what I mean? Got a little sticker on the side. It says from something janitorial. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, he's looking at what they built and he's just like, oh, that's not quite what I was thinking. You know what I mean? And it's kind of sad, but it's just where they're at as a people. They're much less than what they were before the captivity. So, but he's reminding them of just how glorious the temple was. Verse 4, yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, the high priest, and be strong, all of the people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord. He goes, hey man, even though you just got the porta potty up and running, dude, you know what? I'm with you guys. You know, when we get into Zechariah, we'll see a little more with these guys, where some beautiful passages that say it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, right? In Zechariah chapter 4. Some beautiful passages that God's doing a great work of reviving the nation. See, we just got done them dying in Lamentations. But after death comes what? Life. Right? After something dies, the seed dies, right? The plant, the seed in the ground's dead, but then it gets germinated, right? It goes in the ground and then it gets watered and then all of a sudden it sprouts to new life. And now we see new life happening. It's beautiful. You know, that type of thing. You know, that's why, like, when you have a problem, you got to confess it and you got to say it. Because if you can't confess it, you can't kill it. And if you can't kill it, then something can't rise from, you know, the dead. You can't have resurrection until you kill that thing. In order to kill it, you got to say it. You got to say it for what it is. You know, so it's like this. That's the beauty of this. That's why I went to Haggai, by the way, right after Lamentations. It's just so you guys saw the kind of like resurrection. This is newness. We're now building the temple. God's with them. And he says that at the end of verse 4. Verse 5, according to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came from Egypt. So he says, just I entered a marriage with you. The idea of covenant is marriage. I entered in this agreement with you when we came out of Egypt together. Moses, remember all that? So my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Isn't that cool? They probably felt like they were totally, like God left them. Remember back in Lamentations, it was like, remember the end of Lamentations? It was like, God, have you fully rejected us? And what's the answer in Haggai? The answer is no. I'm right there, man. Just as I was there with you guys when you were slaves in Egypt. Just, Bo, when you were in your slavery of your selfish desires. When you were in your full self-loathing of life. I did not leave you. I did not abandon you. I'm right there with you. I mean, it's really cool that God encourages us like that. And then in verse 6 it says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and earth, the sea and the dry land. Now hold that verse 6 spot right there. We kind of just go over that, right? For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heavens and earth, the sea and the dry land. Now look at Hebrews. This little section is quoted by the writer in your New Testament in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. And he does it to make a point, but it's kind of interesting how he quotes this little section of Haggai, you know, from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago to make a point in our New Testament. And you know what it is? It's about the judgment of God. In verse 25 of Hebrews 12, it says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, meaning God. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yes, once more I will shake it, not only the earth, but the heavens also. Interesting, huh? Basically, in the New Testament, it's saying God is going to one day not just judge the earth, but he's going to shake everything. All the universe is going to be shaken, and everything's going to be changed. And so he takes this passage out of Haggai where it says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more it shall be a little while that I will shake heaven and earth and the sea and the land. And he takes that and he says, hey guys, in the book, in the New Testament, he says, hey guys, we got to remember who we're dealing with when we're dealing with God. We're dealing with someone who's not going to just judge the earth, but he's going to judge everything. That's how powerful God is. So that's kind of the idea. In verse 7, in the context of Haggai, it says, and I will shake all nations. And they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord. Have you ever heard that song? Desire of nations, right? And miracles, right? You alone are God. You are alone our God. You are the Lord, the famous one. Famous one. You guys ever heard that song? Great is your name in all the earth, right? This is what that, the verse, that song is talking about Haggai, this passage. That Israel, Jerusalem, is to be the desire of all nations. It will finally, Israel will finally be all that God has called Israel to be. They will be the light to the nation. Check it out. It says, I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. So once again, Israel will have its temple. And once again, God will dwell in that temple, and it will be glorious. Now, this isn't the only time that the prophets spoke of this kind of latter temple where God would dwell in it. Ezekiel, the whole end of the book of Ezekiel is just on God dwelling back in the temple in Jerusalem. It's interesting, in the New Testament, Paul says that the Antichrist will go into the rebuilt temple, the one that God will fill. The Antichrist will actually go into that temple and declare himself God. Now, we live in times where is there a temple in Jerusalem? No, there is not. So there is no temple there. So that means we need to be on lookout, meaning if we ever hear in the news that the Jews are looking to rebuild their temple, dude, you better really be on your guard. Like, that is like prophecy, something's happening, you know what I mean? Already God said they would go back to the land after being dispersed. Are they back in the land today? Yeah, 1948, they all went back to the land. Israel is now a country. And then it says that they will rebuild their temple. So if we ever hear about a temple being rebuilt, man, I tell you what, at that point, you better start speaking to people about Christ, like, massively. Because it's like happening really quick. So God is going to fill that temple again. In verse 8 it says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. On the 24th day of the 9th month, so we were in the 6th month, now we're on the 9th month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Okay, so this is going to be a new little prophecy. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? The priest answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. And now carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, but were there but 10, when one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, but there were 20, I struck you with blight and mildew and hail in the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. The idea of that second little section is the idea where I want you to get the idea that Israel hasn't had a good religious system for quite some time now. They're supposed to have a very strong religious system, right? They're supposed to be priests of the temple. They're supposed to be prophets working. And, you know, people are to bring sacrifices to the temple. And all these things are supposed to happen. But remember why they were judged in Lamentations? Remember one of the points was that the priest and the religious leaders were all off? They were preaching wrong things? Well, the idea here seems to be is that during this time, there is some kind of religious order that is in effect in Israel, which is a positive thing. You know, that there is some reestablishment, if you will, of their religious order that they so badly need. You know, and so God has told them to do all throughout the writings of Moses. So it was once fully absent, so there's these cries out to the priest, right? If someone's carrying holy meat and da-da-da-da-da happens, you know, is he going to be this? You know, and it's the idea that they would have their prophets. They would finally be able to hear them and they would direct them in the right way. And that was a real big problem in Israel. That's why in passages like Isaiah chapter 30, it says that the people, man, they went astray, but at one point when they get restored, they're finally going to hear their prophets and they're going to know the way to go. They're no longer going to go to the right or to the left, it says, but they're actually going to hear the words of the Lord. So you get the idea that maybe what's being talked about here is the idea that finally they're going to have good leaders in front of them. But it's kind of interesting too, because the latter little thing about the dead person, the dead body, if anyone touches that, will he be unclean? And it says, yeah. And then Haggai says, so it is with this people, man. We're an unclean people. And he kind of seems to rip them a little bit, doesn't he? He seems to say, hey, you guys are unclean, meaning the idea of unclean is being, you're not fully doing things the way God has ordained them to do. You're not doing things totally in the right way. And it seems a little harsh for Haggai to be that doing that. You know, I mean, they're trying, right? I mean, they're building. You know, they're doing their thing. But you remember how easy it was for Israel to get off? I mean, if you know their history, man, sometimes it's easy for us to get off, right? I mean, if we put in a little analogy, kind of brought it back to us, you know, do you get tired of someone saying to you like, hey, you know, do you get tired of accountability? You know, like, hey, man, do you ever get tired of someone being, you know, like some Christian person coming in your life and saying like, hey, are you doing okay? And then maybe next week they say the same thing and you're like, hey, I'm getting tired of you asking me. Get off my back. You know what I mean? Sometimes we do, but should we get tired of that? No, we should be pretty excited with accountability, right? We should be glad that someone's asking us, right? Like, and keeping us in check, you know? And Haggai seems to be that kind of person with the people of Israel, where he's saying, hey, guys, you know what? I mean, I know you're doing this, but hey, you know, remember our history? Remember us, man? We're an unclean people. Man, we have gone the route of uncleanness, you know? So he seems to be encouraging them to remember that, and to remember that they, and it might be prophetic too, in the sense that Israel will go the way of uncleanness again, because they did. They got their temple back, they rebuilt it, and then it was destroyed again. Remember, do you guys know when the next time it was destroyed? It was after Jesus. Jesus died in like 33 AD. In 70 AD, it was destroyed again. And was Israel in Jerusalem seeking God during the time of Jesus? No. They actually crucified their Messiah. So that's not doing a good job of seeking the Lord, would it be? They literally crucified the Anointed One. And then God said, okay, unclean again. And they go into captivity again. And then in 1948, now they're back in the land again. It's crazy. I mean, what's happened to Israel is absolutely wild. So I think Haggai is like kind of prophetically saying in verse 14, by saying, and so is every work of their hands, and that and what they offer there is unclean. And then he talks about this interesting thing that talks about kind of the ephahs and the amount of baths and the press. There were 20, and I struck with blight and mildew and hail and laborers' hands, yet did not turn to me. It's almost like they were judged. So he, you know, kind of this idea of judgment before them. And then they still did not come back and turn to the Lord. And then in verse 18 it says, consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? That's a question. I love it, dude. It's like a total farmer question. Haggai must have been some kind of farmer or laborer. He's like, is the seed in the barn? What was the answer? I don't know. So cool. As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day I will bless you. It's almost like he says, is there seed in the barn? And the answer is, nope. There ain't much around, man. We built a porta potty for God. There's not many of us have come back from Babylon, which is true. We kind of are in the dumps and there's not much going on, but God says, I'm going to bless you guys. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth and overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride on them. The horses and the riders shall come down. Everyone by the sword of his brother, in that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will make you Zerubbabel, my servant. Says the Lord, I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. And this was a real encouragement. Even though Haggai, it might seem like he's been a little tough on the people, because they've got back from captivity and they're working on this stuff. He gives them some, man, I tell you, I think I would like this verse 22 and 23 if I was reading his prophecies during their time. I mean, that would be really encouraging. Because what always got in the way of Israel during this time to rebuild the temple and to rebuild Jerusalem was the Gentile world around them, which was always trying to wage more war on the people of Israel. And so the promise is that Zerubbabel, I'm going to be with you as the governor. You're going to complete the mission. I'm going to be with you. Nothing's going to happen. I will destroy the strength of the Gentiles so that you're able to do this. Now, this really did come to pass where Zerubbabel was able to, him, Ezra, that whole band of people were able to rebuild that temple and to rebuild Jerusalem. In the midst of extreme, as Daniel prophesied in Daniel chapter 9, extreme conflict. People all around them wanted to go back to war with Israel and conquer Israel, but yet God was with them. So that's kind of the end of that prophecy. It's really small, it's a short book, but it's to be an encouraging book for the people of the days of Ezra, you know, that God is going to raise up them from the dead, if you will. So they weren't a nation, now they're going to be back a nation, and they are going to have their religious system reinstituted, which is really the center of the Jewish people. So pretty cool. Anyway, two books of the Bible today. Done. So cool. Anyway, we'll pray. Thank God for it. Father, we thank you for the study we had today, the second service. And thank you so much how we got to see kind of Haggai with Lamentations and how that's beautiful to see how you restore. And Lord, you take our lives too and you allow us to go into the dumps, Lord, and to live our own lives the way we want. And then when we are finally at our kind of end and we cry out to you, Lord, you pick us up and you set our feet upon a rock and you make us on a strong, solid foundation. And Lord, you start doing new things in our life. You, in a sense, raise our lives from the dead. And we thank you so much for that work. We bless your name, God. You are so good to us and so merciful. And your mercies are so new every morning. In Jesus' name, amen.